All right, everyone, get ready for a deep dive. Today, we're tackling a story about some pretty epic complaints, divine intervention, and relatable leadership struggles. We're heading back to the Book of Numbers, chapter 11, to hang out with the Israelites in the desert. And let me tell you, these folks were the original masters of first world problems.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. This story isn't just about complaining, though. It really dives into a deeper human struggle. See, the Israelites had just been freed from slavery in Egypt and found themselves wandering the desert. God was miraculously providing for them with manna, but get this, they were tired of it. They were craving the foods they had back in Egypt.
Hold on, wait, seriously. They're craving the food they ate when they were slaves.
Yeah.
That's a whole other level of missing the point.
It is. It really is. It's a classic example of hedonic adaptation, which psychologists talk about. We get used to the good things, you know, and then we just start taking them for granted. Even freedom and divine provision can become pretty mundane after a while, I guess.
So, okay, but what were they specifically complaining about? Like, what delicacies were they missing so much?
Well, they wouldn't stop going on and on about fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. It even says in the text that they felt like their souls were dried away without these foods.
Wow.
It's almost comical, right? But it also shows us something really important about human desire. We often get so fixated on what we lack, even when we have so much.
And it wasn't just annoying either, right? Their complaining had some pretty serious consequences. I mean, they actually angered God so much that a fire broke out at the edge of the camp.
Yeah, a divine wake-up call, if you ask me. That incident really shows the destructive power of ingratitude. It's not just about being polite, you know. It's about recognizing and appreciating the good things in our lives. When we don't do that, it creates a breeding ground for negativity and discontent.
It makes you think about poor Moses, stuck in the middle of all this desert drama. He's trying to lead these people to the promised land, but they're driving him crazy with their constant complaining.
Oh, can you imagine the stress? He even pours out his heart to God, overwhelmed by the burden of leading this ungrateful and unruly crowd. It's a good reminder that even the greatest leaders have those moments of vulnerability and need support. It's kind of cool how this story shows the all the different things that go into leadership. You know, God sees how tired Moses is and tells him to get 70 elders to help share the responsibility.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like God's giving him a lesson in delegation and building a support system even way back then.
So teamwork makes the dream work, even in biblical times.
Oh.
But doesn't God end up giving the Israelites what they want? Didn't he send them all those quail they were craving?
He does, but it doesn't exactly go as planned. Like, there are consequences. The text says this massive flock of quail just descends on the camp, and the people just stuff themselves silly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's almost like a warning, you know? Like, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, I get that. It's like when you buy something you've been wanting for ages, and then you get it, and it's like, meh.
Exactly. That whole quail thing is a pretty good metaphor for how obsessed we are with instant gratification these days. I mean, think about it. Everywhere we turn, there's someone telling us to buy more, eat more, experience more. Like, happiness is just a purchase away.
Right, right.
But the Israelites learned the hard way that overindulging can backfire. Big time.
So is there a way to break free from all that craving and discontent? Is it even possible these days with temptation around every corner?
Well, it's definitely a challenge, but I think this story gives us some clues. Remember how they were longing for the food they ate in Egypt? Even though that was when they were slaves, facing hardship.
It's like they wanted to go back to their comfort zone, even though it wasn't good for them.
Exactly. And the key to breaking free is gratitude. You know, when we focus on what we have instead of what we don't, it changes everything.
Yeah. Someone once said, comparison is the thief of joy. And it's true. The more we compare and focus on what we lack, the less happy we are.
And that's where mindfulness comes in. It's about really being present instead of just going through the motions, like really enjoying what we already have, whether it's food or things or even information.
So it's about slowing down and noticing the good things, even the small things.
Totally. It's about finding joy in simple things, things that really feed our souls, not just going after every fleeting desire.
This has been so insightful. We've covered so much. Discontent, instant gratification, gratitude, mindfulness. It's amazing how much wisdom is packed into this story.
It really is.
But before we wrap up, any final thoughts on how we can put these ancient lessons into practice in our own lives? Welcome back. We've been digging into this story from the Book of Numbers, and it's really hitting me how much it applies to us, even today.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. We might not be wandering in the desert with manna falling from the sky, but we still deal with discontent and instant gratification and tough leadership situations. It's all still there.
So how do we actually take these lessons and apply them to our lives? Where do we even start?
Well, I think the first thing is to notice when we're complaining, you know, when we're focusing on what we don't have. It's so easy to get caught in that trap, and the more we do it, the worse we feel.
Right, so it's about changing our perspective. Instead of always seeing what's missing, we got to train ourselves to be thankful for what we have.
Exactly. And that's where gratitude comes in, like actually taking time each day to think about the good things, even the little things, can make a huge difference.
It's like that saying, gratitude turns what we have into enough.
Yeah, that's a good one. And when we're grateful, we naturally stop wanting more all the time, you know? We're more content with what we have.
Okay, so now let's talk about those quails. It's such a powerful image of overindulgence, like be careful what you wish for. How do we apply that in a world that's always pushing for quick fixes and instant rewards?
I think that story shows us that real satisfaction doesn't come from just pleasure or stuff. It's more about living by our values and going after things that give our lives meaning, you know, things that really matter.
So we have to be more intentional. Ask ourselves, is this actually good for me, or am I just chasing a temporary high?
Yeah, exactly. It's about mindfulness, being present, really enjoying the things that actually nourish us, like spending time with people we love, doing things that bring us joy, or just taking a minute to appreciate beauty around us. There are so many ways to find true fulfillment without falling into that instant gratification trap.
This has been such an insightful deep dive. We've learned so much from ancient wisdom to human nature, and even gotten some practical tools for a better life.
I agree. It's incredible how much we can learn from a story that's thousands of years old.
And as we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with a thought to ponder. Think about those quail and ask yourself, what are some things you want that might actually be holding you back from bigger, more fulfilling goals?
That's a great question. Maybe it's time to let go of some things, be grateful for what we have, and trust the journey, even when it takes us through tough times.
That's a perfect way to put it. Thanks for joining us on this amazing deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep searching for those little bits of wisdom hidden everywhere.